Hi, everyone. This is the How to Lower Your Tax Bill podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Hutchins. I'm a financial and tax advisor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the goal of this podcast is to help you listeners get educated on different tax strategies that you can implement to improve your tax situation immediately. Each episode, we'll break down useful tax tips you can use to save money, no matter what your personal or business income situation. Because our motto is, keep more of what you earn. So let's get into today's episode. So welcome back to another episode of How to Lower Your Tax Bill. I am accompanied by Tamia Kelly once again, by popular demand. And so we're going to be talking about an important topic whenever you are preparing your tax return on the importance of reviewing and understanding what happened in your prior year. So on this episode, we're going to talk about tax deductions and tax credits. We're going to talk about things that impact your taxes from the prior year. So things that might have happened that will impact what happens in your current year. We're going to hopefully help you look at maybe where you kind of find this information. And then just give you some tips around how you can ultimately utilize this information to keep more money in your pocket. And this isn't going to be a segment, I wouldn't say, but Tamia did have a history lesson she wanted to share on some of the things she had actually researched prior to our episode. So I'm going to give her the floor and let her talk about that. So get your notebooks out. And I am very excited for this portion of the podcast.
Hey, well, listen, thank you so much for having me back. Hey, good people. I am back. I once was blind, but now I see is back. And this is another episode to share and put all my business out there about what I didn't know about taxes, right? But I want to say, last episode, we spent a lot of time saying, when you look back at your tax return. And this is an important podcast for you to do just that, right? One of the things that I say, I once was blind, but now I see. And I say that because I didn't know, right? I didn't know a lot of things. But if you listen to this podcast, go back to all of the episodes, especially if you are a small business. Use this podcast like you would use, like you study in a book or something. Pull out your previous tax returns. Literally go line by line. Terrence does an amazing job of knowing the line numbers off of the top of his head. Me, not so much. But you definitely can follow along. And one of the things that I researched in preparation for this particular podcast was the deductions. And you know how we talk about standard deductions and itemized deductions. Listen, I didn't know anything about it. I just wanted a bigger refund. I told y'all that last podcast, okay? This particular fact, and it's not a new segment. It's kind of a play on what Terrence does on his other episodes at the end where he gives you that little nugget. We're just doing it at the beginning. And so just kind of a heads up, the Individual Income Act of 1944 was created by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. So back in the day, the 20th century, less than 10 Americans paid 2% levied on income over $2,000. Can you imagine $2,000? Income over $2,000? Yes. Less than 10, 1 in 10 Americans paid 2% of this tax. And so the tax code was crazy. It was chaotic. I believe at that time it was about 32 different income brackets. 32 Wow. different income tax brackets. So much so that President Roosevelt was like, listen, I don't know what's going on. It was said that he would just send in his tax return half done with a $15,000 check and just say, send me a invoice for the balance if there is one. Because it was so chaotic. And so they did a study. But when they did that study, they realized that what was complicated was the income brackets and the lengthy list of exemptions. And most of the time, consuming part of the tax filing process was clearly the adding of individual deductions. And so with that, the standard tax deduction was created to give Americans a relief on trying to figure out taking a truckload of receipts to their tax preparer to do their taxes. And so they said, to make it simple, let's give the people, I think at the time it was like 500. The standard deduction was like 500.
Okay.
For the people. So yeah, that's a little did you know fun fact there. 1944 created the standard deductions.
Interesting. So I affectionately call her Mother Kelly. She has the soul of someone who was born in 1944, even though she's much younger than that. But it's interesting, you were talking about Roosevelt, and many times with law, it is based upon whoever is in charge.
Yes.
And some of the pain points or some of the things they want to get done does impact what gets passed in the law and how that impacts us as taxpayers. And that's why the tax code is so long, because there have been many leaders who have come into play, have their own agenda, and then they had to add things or change things so that it could actually get passed. In fact, the biggest tax overhaul prior to the most recent one here in 2018 was when Ronald Reagan was president. And if you recall, he was an actor prior to becoming president.
That's right.
And so the top tax rate when he got in office was 70%. So we complain about our top 37, and some people complain about paying 20. Well, imagine paying 70% of your income in taxes. So he actually cut that by 25% because he felt like, well, you know, if we give more people money, then they'll spend more money, that'll inflate the economy more. So there's always a balance on how much does the government get versus how much you should get and what you should do with it. And so one of the goals we always talk about with this podcast is making sure that the government gets less legally based on the rules that they put in place. And so one of the ways that you can actually lower your tax bill is to look at what happened in the prior year. And through this, we have what are called tax carry forwards. So a carry forward is probably a deduction or a credit that you had in a year, but you weren't able to use it because you didn't have enough tax liability to use it in that year. So we're going to talk about some examples there. And the difference between a tax credit and a tax deduction, I always compare it to, let's say you went to the store and you had a gift card where I could actually just buy something dollar for dollar. So if something costs $100, I can use my $100 gift card to pay for it 100%. That's how a tax credit works. If you owe $1,000 in taxes, if you have a $1,000 tax credit, it'll wipe out your tax bill. If you have a deduction though, that's like having a coupon. So if I have a $100 purchase and I got a 30% off coupon, then I'm still going to pay money, but I'm going to pay less. And so it's important when people are looking for how to lower their tax bill, they don't focus strictly on deductions because generally they're still paying something. And many times they're going to be worse out of pocket if they just go buy stuff just to get a tax deduction. Yeah. That's what we have to get them aware of. But it's important that if they had a carry forward from the prior year, that they don't forget about it because it could allow you to lower your tax bill in the current year. So Tamia, tell me a little bit about, obviously you started for filing taxes this year. What were some of the conversations or what were some of the things that maybe people didn't know about that happened the prior year that you discovered on their tax return?
So one of the things that, and I would put myself in here, that we didn't know was truly the difference between the two. The language.
That's a credit and a deduction?
Right, the credit and a deduction. Didn't know the difference between the two. One of the things that you will often hear some of the people that are listening would probably say is, I want to claim this on my taxes. Mm-hmm. They said I could claim this on my taxes. So that's really the language that is centered around a credit or deduction.
Right.
They don't typically come and say, hey, can I get this tax credit? Or hey, can I get this deduction?
Yeah.
Usually the language is, can I claim this? Right. And from a small business standpoint, or people who are sole proprietors or LLCs with an S-Corp designation, they just want to avoid paying taxes,
right?
And what you're saying is that we need both. We need to understand our deductions, which lowers the income that I have to pay taxes on. And
right.
We also need that credit, which helps us subtract from the amount that we owe. And so that's what I've experienced myself, as well as a sole proprietor LLC coming to me. They just say, I want to claim this, or send me that box load of receipts.
Right. Exactly.
And for me to figure it out, what is deductible versus what is a credit that they could take advantage of.
Gotcha. Well, cool. So let's dive into a few deductions. So these are things that will reduce your income in the current year that happened in the prior year. So the first one is what is called a net operating loss, or an NOL for short. And this is effectively, if you own a business and you had a loss from that business, so you spent more money than you made, it created a tax loss. Now, depending on the business and the type, we've been going over a series around real estate. We talked about how some of those losses can't be used. That isn't going to be this thing. We'll get into that later. This is going to be more of an active business. So an active business that has, let's say, a $10,000 loss. Well, that $10,000 loss, because I actively worked in it, I can use that to offset my income. However, if you spend a lot of money, let's say, and you have maybe $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $100,000 in losses, sometimes you may not have enough income to utilize that against. In fact, this year, a business loss can only be used to offset 80% of your income. So if I had, let's say I made $100,000 and I invested in an oil and gas deal, right? And we'll get into maybe the dynamics of that in a future episode. But let's say I lost $120,000 on paper on this deal. Well, 80% of my income is $80,000. So if I had a $120,000 loss, I can only use $80,000. The other $40,000 would carry forward to the next year. So you think about, all right, if I'm in 2025 and I got a $40,000 deduction against my income, that would impact my planning, because I know that if I make another $100,000, I'm only going to pay tax on $60,000 of it, if that's the only carry forward that I had. Okay. Now, as a matter of fact, I know many of you have talked about, you know, our current president and his tax situation. In fact, there was a rule between 2018 and 2020. So post-COVID, there was a lot of stuff that's happened, and COVID brought a lot of rules that were just shocks to the system. One of those came from the CARES Act. So in the CARES Act, it basically said, hey, you have this net operating loss. Normally, you can just carry that forward until you use it. So if I can't use it this year, I can use it next year, the following year, until it goes to zero. Well, in the CARES Act, they let you actually carry back your losses 3 years. So that just meant, hey, if I had a $50,000 loss this year I wasn't able to use, I can go back and amend my tax return from the prior year or 2 years prior and reduce my income from then. So that basically said, hey, if I paid taxes in the past, I now can reduce my income from that year, which means I'll just get a refund for the amount of taxes that I paid. So that's actually something that President Trump took advantage of. And whenever he was paying a lot of taxes, because people say he didn't pay any, which is half true, but he actually paid a lot of taxes at one point, but he had a big tax loss he actually carried back, and he actually got a 7+ figure refund from the government. So imagine you getting a 7+ figure check from the government, right? How would that treat your Christmas there? But anyway, that's what you look at as far as a net operating loss. Next, we have what's called a capital loss. All right. So to me, are you familiar with a capital loss?
So a capital loss is the, ordinary income or something, a deduction against the ordinary income that carries forward. Is that what you're referring to? Kind of enlighten me. Enlighten the people.
Terry. Gotcha. Okay. So if you invest...
Before you get into that, I will say about the net, the NOLs, the net operating loss. One of the things, again, that you'll hear us say is you got to look at your previous tax return and you got to know your business. This is where you have to know what's going on in your business, because people don't take advantage of that or don't know how it works or really don't even know the limitations of it. And this is why you use a tax preparer versus trying to do this on your own, because you really could be paying more taxes. What's the name of this podcast? How to Lower Your Tax Bill. You really could be paying more taxes than what you need to, if you know about your NOLs and if you know what can carry forward and if there's any tax bills that work in your favor, i.e. current administration, that you can go back and help you get a refund versus just breaking even.
For sure. So with the capital loss, if you invest in generally stocks and bonds is where this normally will come from. So if I invest in stocks and bonds, that's considered a passive activity, unless I'm a trader. So we will get into that right now. But if I go and have a Robinhood account and I go buy a stock, and this year we've seen the stock market has taken a step back. So if I decide, hey, I went and bought a stock for $5,000 and it goes to zero, hypothetically, I have a $5,000 loss. Now, if I go and I do no activity for the rest of the year, when I file my tax return, the IRS will only let me claim $3,000 of that loss. Even though I lost five, they'll only let me take three. The other $2,000 is going to get carried forward to the next year. Now, alternatively, if I had, let's say, another stock that I had made, let's say $7,000, I could have used the 5,000 to offset the 7, and I would have only paid tax on 2. So you have to net out your losses against each other. And if you have a loss that can't be used, so more than $3,000 in a year, then it'll actually carry forward to the next year. So this is important because you really just have to look at your tax return, because there's nothing on the tax return that will show this. In NOL, there's a form 1045 that will show, hey, here's how much the NOL is going to happen for the next year. With this, there is nothing that suggests that. It'll just show you, hey, what is your total loss? And it'll show you the loss that you're allowed to use. But there's nothing that will specifically say, hey, you're going to carry forward $20,000 to the next year. So if you overlook this, you actually will lose this deduction. And it'll create to where you're actually going to be paying more taxes than you should. Okay. So we have a few more. We have passive activity losses. So that's where we've been talking about real estate. If you are not a real estate professional, or you make more than $150,000 and you own real estate, you probably are going to have some kind of tax loss as a result of the real estate that you own. So if you are in that situation where on paper, your rental loses money, you're actually going to have what's called a passive activity loss. And that loss is going to be on form 8582. If you look at that form, it's going to show you, hey, this is a loss that it let you use this year. Here's the loss that was considered unallowed. That unallowed loss is going to need to be carried forward. And this is very important because if you own a rental and it's been losing money, let's say every year on paper, that loss doesn't go away, but it's going to accrue. And that accrual of loss can then be used to offset once the rental starts making money. Or if you sell the property, you could use that entire loss to offset the gain that you had. So if you don't keep track of this, I mean, I've had other preparers that said, hey, they found a client who had over $100,000 of losses, and his tax preparer the next year when they switched didn't really look at it. And so that $100,000 loss was just forfeited. Now, you can go back and amend and all that, but you just don't want to have to do that. And I just saw the IRS took another $20 billion budget cut. So it's going to take a long time. If you don't get it right the first time, just know it's going to take a long time to get it corrected. So we talked about NOLs, we talked about passive activity losses, we talked about capital losses, okay? Now we have charitable contribution carry forwards.
And so this one here, the charitable contribution carry forward, is interesting for me because, again, Mother Kelly, I pay my tithes, right? So When you think of some of the SOL or the LLCs with S Corporation, this is something that I've seen when they send me their taxes and their documentation is, hey, I've paid my tithes, or I've given the infamous $500 to a Goodwill or some organization that doesn't require documentation. And usually their goal is to say, I've given as much as I can to, again, decrease their tax liability. But really, you only get to include so much of that charitable contribution. And 60% of your AGI can carry forward. I think you give the example of, say you donated $100,000 to charity, but can only deduct $50,000, and then you can carry forward the rest. And so this one here is important. I will also say, from the SOL preparer standpoint, if you have paid tithes, which is a very popular charitable donation, you, from a strategy standpoint, it will be best to put that not necessarily on Schedule C, but on we talked about standard deductions, but on an itemized deduction standpoint, to help you lower your tax liability. Because if you don't have enough from your C schedule, it's not going to be beneficial for you. So you want to put that on your 1040 itemized. So that's my little 2 cents on there. Terrence can clear up the rest of it.
Gotcha. So basically what she's saying, the standard deduction is what, as she educated us earlier, started back in the 40s, where you just had a $500. The IRS didn't tax you on the first $500 that you make. This year, if you're single, they don't tax you in the first 15. Or if you're married, they don't tax you in the first 30. So your Schedule A is going to add up all the potential deductions that might eclipse that standard deduction. So on your charitable deduction, let's say you make $100,000, the IRS is only going to allow you to deduct 60% of your income that would be a charitable giving. So sometimes people might just have like stock or stuff that they give away, or maybe they're just in a really low income year and maybe they have a lot of investments. And so they want to give away a lot of stuff in that year. Well, the IRS says, hey, whatever your income is, we'll only let you deduct 60%. of that income. So if you make 100, you can only deduct 60,000. Anything over that is going to get carried forward to the next year, which is important because if your standard deduction exceeds your itemized deductions, then you might not want to give away all of that in 1 year. Okay. And so those are just things that would be important to evaluate to say, hey, if you're planning and it has a tax implication, you want to try to get guidance ahead of time just to make sure that you don't do something. Because it's not that you can't undo certain things, but it's hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube, as they say, with certain tax situations. And so you'll actually cost yourself more money doing it without guidance versus maybe even paying somebody to help you structure things a little bit more judiciously for your pocketbook. So we have a few more deductions. So we have the what's called the Section 179. And I won't go too much into this, but effectively, the government will give you a deduction up to about $1.25 million on equipment that you buy. So if you have equipment, they'll let you spend a whole lot of money on equipment, but they'll cap you at how much you can deduct in a given year. Okay. You also have the interest or investment interest carry forward. So if I have investment interest, which generally will come from things like if I borrowed money to invest in something, then I may have investment income that is generated. And if I have a deduction against that income, I can take that deduction to offset. So for example, let's just say I borrow money to invest in a project. That project doesn't really net me any money yet, but I have interest that I paid as a result of this investment. If my interest exceeds the income I received, then that interest is going to get carried forward. So if I start making money from that investment, I'll be able to use that interest deduction against it in future years. Now, one point I will say on the last one here is the home office. This is actually something I just had here recently, that if you do operate your business from your house and you have two methods to deduct that, you have what's called the simplified method, I should say, where you can actually take $5 per square foot up to 300 square feet. So that's $1,500. So if I have a home office and my home office is 200 square feet, I can take $1,000 of a deduction without any documentation. Or I can compare the size of my office to my house in total, and I can take the percentage of the expenses that it takes to maintain my house. So if you think about, hey, what does it take to maintain your house? Well, you got your utilities, you got your interest on your loan, you got insurance, you got taxes. So I can take a percentage of those items and deduct them. Now, in this case, if you're operating a business and you got a little side hustle like many of you might, and someone told you, hey, you need to start a business to save on taxes. Well, number one, you start a business to make money. But right. Secondly, if you're not making money and you do have a tax loss and you do operate out of your house, you have to use the actual expense method in order to incur this carry forward. So if you have, let's say, $3,000 of home expenses and you had a business loss, if you try to use the simplified method, you actually just are going to lose the deduction. If you use the actual expense method, though, and you say, hey, I have $3,000 of expenses, but my business took a loss last year, I can take that $3,000 and carry it forward to the next year. Okay. So any questions to me on that? Anything we probably need to clear up for the people?
Let me see. So for the home office deduction, I would just kind of put a little note in there because to your point about the side businesses, the side hustles, when people are like, hey, I need to do this for tax purposes or whatever, I would just say you have to actually, now, we have no way of proving this. So as tax preparers, you can tell us anything, but it really means that you are using your home exclusively and regularly for this. Again, we can't prove that you don't use your home, but keep in mind that every once in a while, there isn't such thing as an audit. So I would say this is one of those deductions that a lot of people who are not business owners, who don't have a real business, just more of a side hustle, is the most common thing that I've ran up against this year doing taxes that people try to use as a tax strategy on their individual tax return. And it doesn't work like that. So just kind of put that out there. If you're thinking about a strategy, this is not one.
Okay, kind of so that. In other words, Tamia says she's not going to go to your house to verify your office. However, if you were looking to document against an audit, you probably would just at least want to take a picture of the space and keep that on your record so that you have something to back up the stuff that you're doing.
Okay. Thank you, ChatGPT.
All right. So we went over these 7 tax deductions. Now we got some tax credits. So tax credits, as I mentioned, that's better than a deduction because it's going to reduce your tax bill dollar for dollar. All right. So I'm going to run through a few of these. On the business side, you have business credits. So that is going to go in a form 3800. And you have a few of those. You have the R&D credit. So if you have a product or a technology that you developed or improved upon another technology, you can actually get a tax credit for developing that for the cost of the materials or the labor that it took you to create the item that you did. If you don't have enough income, though, that credit can get carried forward. You also have like the work opportunity tax credit. One of the things that I see a lot this year is like the retirement account credit. So basically, if you set up a 401k account for your staff, there's really 3 types of tax credits you can get as a result of that. And if you don't have enough income, you can actually use that to carry forward to future years. And some of these credits, you can carry them up to 20 years. Some of the other ones, they will carry forward indefinitely. So it's important that you kind of know. I mean, granted, if you don't have enough income to offset after 20 years, you probably are doing something wrong. But they do give you that period of time to do that. Now, you also have credit on the personal side, okay? And so you have one is the adoption credit. So if you adopt a kid, you can actually deduct up to a certain level based on your income on the expenses for that adoption. Now, this one only carries forward for 5 years, okay? Now, if you adopt Scruffy, these are only humans, okay? I don't know if Tamia is a dog. Are you a dog person, Tamia? Cat person?
Not a dog person? People, dog lovers, listeners, okay. Do not come for me, please. Don't come for me.
All right, I'm a kid.
I do have a quick question before you get into this one. I actually had a question about that. So with the adoption credit, we mm-hmm. know that employers are now adoption savvy or friendly, if you will, and mm-hmm. they give credits, resources to support adoption. Mm-hmm. Are you aware if this plays into that? Because, you know, for a W-2 employee, we can see if they've received any type of additional support for this particular credit. So is it what we've been doing in terms of just need to ask the customer, mm-hmm. The client, how much did you contribute mm-hmm. towards your adoption? Is that
correct? Yeah. So similar to like childcare, for example,
yes.
If your employer is giving you money towards an adoption or childcare or like your education expenses, then you'll need to reduce the amount that your employer gave you towards that amount. So let's just say in the adoption, the max credit is around $16,000. So let's just say your employer gave you $5,000 and then you ended up spending $12,000 total. So you spent $7 out of your pocket plus the $5 that the employer gave you. The max credit could be $16,000. Well, if they gave me $5, the IRS isn't going to let me take a credit for that $5.
Right.
The employer took a deduction for that $5 themselves. They're only going to allow me to count the $7 that I actually put out of my own pocket. So that's
a good
question, because I know people will try to double dip on certain things.
Yes, they will.
And so the IRS isn't hip to giving you money and giving someone else a tax deduction at the same time. Okay. So there's a few other credits that are important. So one, you have the foreign tax credit. That is if you had income overseas and you paid taxes there and you weren't able to use the entire credit, you can use that in future years to offset future income that you have. And then you have the residential clean energy credit. So I'll park here for a second because many people are looking at solar panels right now. And oftentimes, if you're sold solar panels, the person that's selling them to you is going to be giving you tax information.
Let me set this up, Terrence.
Okay.
So, hey, knock, knock. Hey, Terrence. Hey, I want to sell you these solar panels. They're amazing. They will save you so much money on your energy bill, yada, yada. All you need is just some sun mm-hmm. and they work, right?
Okay.
Not to mention you get an amazing tax credit. I mean, like almost a refund if sometime. So this is something you want to do. Then how
wow.
much tax credit? I don't know, but you will get one. You will get a tax credit.
So you're telling me I pay this high fee, it might save on my bill, and I definitely am going to save on taxes, okay?
Yeah,
I just need to know where to sign.
They call them rebates. Yeah, okay. I'll sign you up right now. And then we'll come and, you know, all these hidden fees, no worries about that. But you will be able to get this on your taxes. Get a huge refund. Huge.
So great sales pitch, by the way. Great sales pitch. So just to give you some context on this credit, the credit is 30% of the cost of the solar panels, including installation. So if you spend $50,000 on solar panels that qualify, you can actually get a $15,000 tax credit. However, if you're number one, I will tell you just a rule of thumb. If the amount of your credit is exceeding the amount of taxes you pay in a year, unless you've been working with someone like myself and we've gotten your tax bill down really low, you probably need to really assess, is this something I can afford? Okay. But if your tax bill, let's say in that case, if your tax bill is less than $15,000 for the year, then what happens is they will apply that $15,000 against your tax bill for the year. So let's say your tax bill for the year is $12,000. They'll say, hey, the credit's $15,000, we'll apply $12,000, and then you have $3,000 that's going to get carried forward to the next year. All right. That's important because the difference is between this and, let's say, an electric vehicle credit is that an electric vehicle, the credit does not carry forward. This one is actually better. It does carry forward, but you're going to be capped at what your actual tax bill is for the year. And right. So you have to be strategic with this because there may be multiple things you do in a year. And if you decide to get solar panels and it's December, November, whatever, it may make more sense to maybe carry it into the next year, depending on what other things you had going on, because you'll eventually get the money. You just may have to wait a longer time to get it. Okay. So we've gone over 7 different tax deductions. We've gone over some tax credits. We talked about, you know, where you actually find that information. Okay. So what, Tamia, do you feel like were a few great takeaways that the people should be aware of just from our conversation?
So a few great takeaways is, one, if you are a business owner, be very in touch with your losses. One of the things Terrence mentioned was we mentioned a couple of different losses that carry forward, right? Your net operating losses, your capital losses, and then your passive activity losses. So you got to be very in touch with what you're making and anything that you've lost, and understanding how much you're able to deduct from your current tax return, because everything that you can carry forward doesn't tell you in black and white on the actual tax return. Mm-hmm. And so you really need to have a sit down with your tax preparer. If you use someone like us, like Terrence, you would know, right? But if you don't and you use someone that's inferior, then I'm just teasing. No, I'm not talking about any other tax preparers out there. But if you, sincerely though, if you use someone who maybe doesn't communicate a lot with you, this is your responsibility, right, to go and look and see what they've deducted, the amount that they deducted, and also, again, what's going on with your losses and your carry forwards. And then the things that you can see, I think you mentioned Form 1045 or something like mm-hmm. that. If you can see the loss, take note of that and what you can get. The other thing that kind of stood out is the charitable contributions, of course, yes. Understanding how much you can carry forward, understanding how much you should be giving, right? At the end of the year, the last quarter of the year, to make sure it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then when you think about any tax credits, and again, when you think about the tax credits, the goal is to subtract from the taxes you owe, right? So
yeah.
When you get through with your deductions and you want to say, listen, that tax bill is too high, what tax credits can we get? You want to see if you do qualify for, say, the work opportunity tax credit or the general business credit, right? Mm-hmm. The last thing I will say to you is, we mentioned at the top of the hour, our tax acts, bills, whatever, can change based on the administration that's in office. Mm-hmm. So we know that it may change. So be in the know. I think you mentioned that some of these expire. You gave an example of someone who lost money.
Yeah.
Don't lose money, people. We're not in the business of losing money. Don't miss out on money. Don't pay too much. And make sure you can get your refund if you can. So with this current administration or with any administration, it's going to be important to be in a know to know what tax credits or deductions are expiring and what's new that's coming in the pipeline that you can strategize and be able to take advantage of in your next return year.
Awesome. And so, you know, I wouldn't say that any other preparer is inferior necessarily, okay? However, if your preparer is not asking you, especially if they're new, if they're not asking you for a copy of your prior year, then they're probably not someone that's really up to the task. And if you're doing your own taxes, it's important that you just do a quick review just to make sure that you are familiar with what happened. And because oftentimes you may even have forgotten stuff that maybe happens every year, that the last year will show you, hey, I actually did this. Did I do this year? Or, hey, I got interest from this bank. Did I maybe have interest from that bank this year? Because if you leave something off your taxes, it's probably going to be 18 months later, the IRS is going to send you a notice and tell you what you left off your taxes. And they're going to want you to have paid them more money, plus some interest and penalties. So it's important that you're aware of what happened in prior years. And especially if you have these deductions or credits that impact you, hopefully documenting that at the time when you file so that you can go into the year knowing that you have, you know, something in your back pocket to utilize to ultimately help you save money when you're filing your taxes in the following year. Okay. So hopefully you guys took away some good information. Timmy and I will be back on a future episode. We'll figure out what we're going to talk about and maybe we'll get another history lesson in there. So as we say, keep more of what you earn and we'll talk to you guys soon.